What a joy it is to be with you for your missions conference. Always makes my heart beat when I see a church get excited about sending missionaries to the ends of the earth. And Sunday night, we talked about the urgency of the one mission. I didn't talk a lot about the one mission, but I think we know the one mission is the Great Commission. Make disciples. That's what our Savior left us to do. He didn't leave us here to sin or to enjoy ourselves, so to speak, to pleasure ourselves. He left us here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Please take your Bibles with me tonight and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read just three verses, 11, 12, and 13. Please stand to your feet with me as we read the Word of God. We're reading in the Beatitudes, and I want you to take notice of the setting in which this verse we're going to read falls. It falls within that persecution, and none of us like that persecution. But let's look at what Jesus said to these disciples after He called them to Himself. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and what? And say all manner of what? Against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly what? For great is your reward where? All right. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now you just drank all that in, right? Real encouraging. Amen. Brother Steve, persecution. Look at the next verse. Ye are what? Remember the context. There's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be persecution. Things are going to happen that are not pleasant. And He says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're gathered because we love Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to love these missionaries and send them out to the ends of the earth because they're answering the call you put on their life. Lord, we need you to stir up our hearts tonight to understand what Jesus meant when he said, ye are the salt of the earth. We want to be obedient, we want to love your word, and we want to listen to our Savior tonight. Help me to be your messenger boy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I hope you notice the Bible didn't say, you should be the salt of the earth. We like those kind of things. You should be. You should forgive. You should love. It said here, ye what? Are. Whether you like it or not, you are the salt of the earth. And we need to understand what does that mean. I believe that language is only a reliable means of communication when both the speaker and the listener agree on the meaning and the application of a word. I can't use a word and think it to mean one thing, and you use a word and think it to be another, we will not have what we would call communication. All right? What if I would say to you, I'm really hot. I'm really hot. Well, that can mean several things, right? I can think of at least four, and I wouldn't ask Jimmy what he thinks. When I say, today I'm very hot, it could mean that I have some financial crisis in my life. I'm very hot financially, right? It can also mean that I'm in Texas and the weather's hot. But remember, I'm from Africa, so when I'm in Texas, I'm usually cold. I was sitting in the Welcome Center. Tyler walks in and said, Brother Steve, it's hot in here. I said, Tyler, I'm fine. Because I'm from Africa, I like it hot. Well, you can mean that the weather's hot. It can mean that you're very busy or you have a lot of business going on in your life. Things are going well. In business, you have a lot going on. And then it can mean I'm dressed to the nines and I'm looking hot, right? Jacob, you're not with me. It can mean all those things. So when you say I'm hot, I mean, you've got to look at the context of where the person is and what they mean. Well, I want you to think about that when Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Number one, you've got to know what Jesus meant because he's the speaker and we are the what? We're the receivers. We need to receive this message, and we cannot apply something that Jesus didn't mean and then think we got the scriptures. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. I want us to look at three things tonight about salt. I want us to look at the power of salt, the potency of salt, and the purpose of salt. And Jesus used it in the context, ye are the salt of the earth. So we're going to look at these things, the power of salt in the world. Now, if you know the day and age in which Jesus was speaking, they did not have refrigeration. The major way of preserving things was salt. But that's not the only meaning that the word salt has. But we must understand the context. I want you to remember in the Bible that in the days of Noah, the Bible said every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that didn't please God, so what did he do? He destroyed the world. Okay? When men do what's right in their own eyes, God will have to step in and do some discipline. We cast our eyes forward to Sodom and Gomorrah. God wasn't real happy there either. He went and told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he went down and he had Lot and his wife come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a contract. God says, I want you to come out of Sodom. But if you remember, Lot's wife looked back. She looked back longingly because she had children still there. Her heart was still there. And she was disciplined for that. And she was turned into what? Pillar of salt, right? And that should tell you something about what Jesus is on to here. Whenever there is a lack of salt, there is corruption, decay, and destruction. And God is going to deal with sin. And then God says, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, to understand it, I want you to go back in your Bibles with me to the book of Leviticus. In Leviticus, we have instructions about the sacrifices the Jews were supposed to bring when they would come to the temple. When you see the word oblation, that is a word that means an offering given to God. Let's look at Leviticus 2, verse 13. And I read, and every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with what? Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of thy covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer, help me, salt. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the sacrifice had to be what? Seasoned with salt. And I want you to tie this together tonight. Jesus Christ is pictured in the sacrifice. Jesus Christ himself, John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, that what? Taketh away the sins of the world. And in the sacrifice, they were commanded to put salt on the sacrifice. And I want you to make the connection when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. If the purpose of the salt is to preserve, and Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, he is the sacrifice, and every Jewish sacrifice was pointing to Jesus Christ. I wonder who the salt is. Anyone want to gander a guess? We are the salt. So what do you think our purpose is? Our purpose is to keep the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alive and fresh in our generation. That is a big responsibility. There is only one sacrifice. Christ will not be sacrificed at every Mass. He will not be sacrificed over and over again. He is the once for all forever sacrifice. But that once for all forever sacrifice must be preserved in every generation. And we need to thank God that from the time that Jesus rose from the dead, there have been faithful Christians. There have been faithful Christians who have made disciples. Because if they had failed, we would not be here. They have salted the sacrifice. They were the salt of the earth. And listen, the salt has to be on the sacrifice. You can't be the salt and refuse to be on the sacrifice. It's part of the sacrifice. And so if we can get this in our minds tonight, the power of the sacrifice is to preserve the sacrifice of Christ in our generation. How will the people of Fort Worth know what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago? Hello. God put Worth Baptist Church here. This is the biggest salt shaker you've ever seen. And you are here that God might sprinkle you out on this city and you will be the salt of the earth in this city and to the regions beyond. But I want you to know this is also a salt maker, because we can't shake something we don't have. And so the church is a salt maker. People will be discipled here. That's our one mission, to make disciples, that we might put them out into the world, that they might keep the sacrifice of Christ alive. It's so exciting when we put these things together. We have one mission, to keep the sacrifice of Jesus alive in this generation. That is the power of salt in the world. Now I want to warn you about something. You might be sitting there tonight and say, "Brother Steve, I don't buy in. I've never heard that before. I don't believe it." Well, fine. Let's look at the rest of the verse and see if you buy in with that. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 13, he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth," and here's that nasty word, "but." "But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" That's the earth. How will the earth be salted if the salt is no longer salty? So the earth cannot be salted if the salt has lost its savor. Brethren, if the church stops preserving the sacrifice of Christ, what will happen to the church? It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Do you see what happens here? You don't have a choice whether or not you're salt. Jesus said, "Ye are salt." And then there's a little warning about our potency. You see, if we don't have the right potency, where do we end up? We end up good for what? Good for nothing. I don't think anybody likes to be told they're good for nothing. Especially me. I don't like to be told that. But Jesus literally said, when a church stops preserving the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that church, those believers, become good for nothing but to be cast out into the streets and to be trodden under the foot of men. You become what we call weed killer. You understand that? Understand the illustration here. You can take seed and put seed in a field, but if you put salt in a field, you'll destroy the field. And so we're no longer allowed to be in the field if we're not broadcasting the seed. We are diluted salt, and a diluted salt, a contaminated salt, a dead salt is good for nothing and must be cast out. We have no purpose, so we must be punished. And in any generation, in any location, when a church forgets its one mission and stops being salt, what happens to that church? What happens to those people? As they become good for nothing to God, they become bad representatives. Do you know who make the angriest, meanest people? Disgruntled people. Disgruntled Christians who are no longer in love with Christ. They're some of the meanest people I've ever met. They are some mean people. They need to get into the street and be stepped on because they're just mean. That's what has to happen to them. We need to be passionately in love with Christ, and we need to be preserving the sacrifice of Christ, and that's the potency of the salt. When we have a wrong mission, we become for good for nothing weed killers. And so you have to ask yourself tonight, am I the right type of salt? Because if you have the wrong potency, you think I can just come to church and sit and sour, you will become weed killer on the road. Because Christ has commanded, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, wherewith will the earth be salted? Now I want you to bring this currently. Come with me to Romans chapter 12. And I want you to see how it works out in reality as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, warning them about this sacrifice. Because I want you to see yourself as salt. And if you do, you'll understand Paul much better. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies," what? This is the salt, people. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Lamb of God. But there is a lot of salt. You see, you'll never be Jesus Christ. You'll never lay down your life, so to speak, to save someone like Christ did. But you can lay your life down to preserve the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can endure persecution for Jesus Christ. You can endure suffering for Christ because you're on the altar with Christ, preserving Him fresh and new in this generation. And so I will never be Jesus Christ. I'll never be the Lamb of God. But praise God, I can be salt on the sacrifice and keep His sacrifice fresh for people to receive Him today. And they will say, yes, He tastes good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How will they know He's good? Hello. We are the salt that preserves the sacrifice in this generation. And so the purpose of the salt in the world is that you and I would get on the sacrifice, present our bodies living sacrifice, which are holy and acceptable unto God. And guess what? It's only your what? It's only your reasonable service. You know what? Tonight, I'm not asking a lot of you. I'm not asking you to live this supernatural Christian life. You say, Pastor, you're way out there. I'm just your normal Joe. I want to come Sunday morning. No. We're the salt of the earth, and we have purpose. We have power, and we have the right potency, and we need to get on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that when people get around us, they know that we're passionate about something because we believe there's a hell, and we believe there's a heaven, and we believe we make a difference in this generation. Because you see, the people of China need the gospel. And how will Tommy get there if we don't get passionate about sending him there? The people of Scandinavia need the gospel. And we need to send Brother Don and his wife there. And that's our job. They are the salt, and we must shake them out. We must send them out like they did in Antioch. So I want you to see verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, that salt that has lost its savor, that diluted, contaminated salt, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what happens when you get on the sacrifice? When you trust God enough to get on the sacrifice, you know what God's perfect will is. And you do it. But I want you to know there's something in the salt. There in the Old Testament, it was called the covenant of salt. And when the Bible says you are the salt of the earth, there's something required in the covenant of salt. You must trust God that when you get on the sacrifice, everything's going to be okay. It's a trusting Him. Why don't people want to get on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? They just don't trust Him. And if you are a Christian and you don't trust Him, you are salt that has lost its savor. You're deluded. You're faithless. And Jesus said over and over again to His disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith, didn't I say we were going to the other side? Didn't He say, go into all the world and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What is it about the salt? It takes faith to get yourself on the sacrifice and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do this week? What part do you want me to play in missions?" Maybe you're not called to China. Maybe you're not called to Scandinavia. Maybe you're not called to Brazil with the Gilmers. But I'll tell you one thing. We can shake out the salt. When God calls someone, we can shake them out. And here's what we need to do this week. We need to look and say, is there someone else here at Worth Baptist Church that God is moving in their heart, that they would come to the altar and say, "Lord, I want to be that salt on the sacrifice. I want you to shake me out. Send me out because I'm ready to preserve the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the corner of the world that has not yet heard the gospel." I want to tell you with all of my heart, I want you to shake me out on Africa. Shake me out on Africa that I might preserve the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because one day in heaven, you'll meet one black face after another, one black face after another, that will say to you, "Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed." What we're doing here tonight will echo in eternity. Who will preserve and keep alive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the people of Fort Worth? We have a job to do for our city, not just for the world. Who wants to be good-for-nothing weed killer that's cast out on the road and trampled underfoot? That's not what I want for my family. That's not what I want for my life. I want the blessings of God upon me. Who wants to know the perfect will of God and do it? You'll never know the perfect will of God and do it until you say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm ready to get on the sacrifice. I'm ready to be salt. You said I'm salt, and I want to be potent salt." I beg you, as we come to the beginning of our conference, and tonight's the first night, I would pray that you would say to God, "God, I want you to stir up my heart that I would be the right type of salt that impacts my world." Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the beginning of our conference. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that are here with us. We want revival in our church. And I believe revival starts right here in our hearts. We've become very happy with all of our success and wealth in America, and we need revival. We need to yearn for something. We need to yearn for the power of God on our church, and that we would be that salt, would send the sacrifice of Jesus Christ around the world, that others would taste and see that our Lord is good. I pray as Pastor comes with the invitation that your heart would be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Send me."